He who is not with me is against me, and he who gathers not with me scatters. And let yourself not be led astray by empty words. It is a mark of our age that many are led astray by empty words and by a false kindness and charity. It's a mark of our age that we are willing to compromise truth and morality to have calm and peace and avoid conflict. And our society has emptied many of the words that we use of their meaning. We hear words like love and charity used often, but stripped of all real and true meaning. Because these things in their true meaning are based on truth and are rooted in Almighty God. And when they are divorced from Him, they lose their true value. And, like other things divorced from God, they revert eventually to selfishness. We have a fallen human nature. And if it is not supported by grace, and if it is not focused on the truths of the faith, then its inclination will always be to pull us down. This past week, we had, of course, the Feast of St. Patrick, as well as the Feast of St. Joseph, two very great saints. St. Patrick was born around 389, very early, if we think about it. And he died about the year 461. As a youth, he was taken prisoner and pushed into slavery in Ireland. He lived in England. He was the son of a Roman soldier on the coast. And Irish raiders came and took him as a slave. In the difficult life he led in slavery, he developed virtue, and he learned to pray well. Eventually, he escaped and made his way to Europe, where he came to be consecrated a bishop in time and was sent by the church back to Ireland to preach. He did not come to Ireland to keep the peace. He didn't come to Ireland to encourage people to practice their pagan religion well, or to tell everybody that everything was okay. Rather, he came to Ireland to preach what Christ had taught, to preach that Christ was God, and to spread the true religion. And it is another error of our day, spread mostly by the Novus Ordo Church, by the New Church, that all religions are good and praiseworthy, and that all religions lead to God. But this is an absurdity. It is not possible that contradictory religions are all true. And if we say that that's the case, we strip religion of all its meaning, and it becomes really valueless. St. Patrick came to Ireland to teach the truth. Imagine a man of our day and age in St. Patrick's shoes who went to Ireland and followed the instructions of the Second Vatican Council, for example, to preserve and promote the good they found in other religions. Imagine St. Patrick coming to Ireland to the Druid priests who were his main enemies in Ireland and saying to them, we're going to find out what's good about Druidism and we're going to keep that going. It's an absurdity. No, St. Patrick came to teach the truth. And in just 30 years, he effectively converted the entire nation of Ireland. As a whole, after the course of St. Patrick's life, the country had become Catholic. St. Patrick had his priorities straight. God came first. And that's nothing extraordinary, that God should come first. He is our Creator and, as He has told us, also our loving Father in heaven. All the world shows the order and the beauty that he has given to us. And so it is no surprise, it is not much of God to ask of us that we should love him in the first place. And St. Joseph, like St. Patrick, had his priorities straight and had God in the first place. These two men, both very great saints, were so different in their vocation. And this is a good lesson for us that no matter what our vocation is, no matter what our spot in life is, we can be a saint and a great saint. Not only can we be, but we should be. St. Patrick's life was dedicated to public preaching. He was well known. He laid the foundations of the church in Ireland. He went up directly against the Druid priests, who bore a lot of authority, a lot of weight in Irish society. He went directly to the Irish king. He worked great miracles. He converted many. He established the cathedral, the first cathedral of Armagh, which is the main see of Ireland, the main episcopal see of Ireland. And he went down in history in great fame. Even to this day, much of the world celebrates, albeit in a bad way, celebrates St. Patrick's Day. And then you have St. Joseph, very great saint. And yet look at his vocation. He did not work great miracles. He did not live any public life at all. There's very little recorded about him. His life was dedicated to the care of two people, Our Lady and Our Lord. His vocation was to be a father, a carpenter, to govern his household, to live his ordinary life well. Very, very different vocations, but both fulfilled with priorities straight and with God in the first place. And not only that, but with a heroic degree of love of God. And while their vocations were very different, we see very great similarities as well, as we see in all the saints. Their great devotion to duty and the response to what God expected of them. We see St. Joseph rising in the middle of the night and taking his family, his wife, and their infant child, with no preparation, no forewarning, into Egypt. No friends, different language, different country. But it was clear that it was God's will, as the angel made known to him, and so he got up and went. No time to explain to his family back in Nazareth where he had gone. No time to arrange his affairs or to tell them what should be done with his belongings. But when he saw what his duty was, he did it and left the rest in God's hands. And both these men were willing, as in this case of the flight into Egypt, to forego comfort, to forego ease, and to sacrifice themselves for the benefit of others. We do not see St. Joseph saying to the angel, "Oh, it's really early. I'm just going to sleep in for another 2 hours, and then I'll get up and go." And St. Patrick had the tremendous spirit of penance and sacrifice. He was known to pray up to his neck in ice-cold water. He would spend two-thirds of the night in prayer and worship of God, and then the remaining third he would lay on the hard surface to sleep. And these men should be an inspiration, especially to our young people. Look at the good that God accomplished through St. Patrick. Just one man who cooperated with Almighty God. An entire nation converted. And not only that, but Ireland became one of the greatest centers of sanctity and of learning in the world. When the barbarian invasions had ravished Europe, it was the Irish monks who brought culture and faith back to Europe. For centuries, the devotion and holiness of the great Irish monasteries and convents was a great boon to the faith. And not only that, but doubtless many in this parish have Irish background, as many Catholics in Ontario do. I have Irish background. And we could ask ourselves, how many of us, if it were not for St. Patrick 1,500 years ago, how many of us would not be Catholic if he had not cooperated with God's grace? And what he did was by the grace of God. And so likewise, if God expects it of any of us, we also can achieve it. And our young people should take this as an example. You have a lot of life ahead of you yet, and a lot of opportunity to do tremendous good. No matter what your vocation is, whether it is in a public sphere, as a priest or a religious or some other way, or whether it is a hidden life, whether it is the life of a mother caring for her children, or a father providing for and governing his family, or a single person doing their work and helping others in a way that married people cannot. Whatever our vocation is, there is no reason we cannot be a great saint. And not only to our own benefit, but to the benefit of so many souls. There are a lot of things you can distract yourself with and waste your time with. And when you get to the end of your life, they're not going to matter at all. But imagine getting to your end of your life and being able to say, I contributed to the salvation of thousands of souls. Or even to get to the end of your life and to be able to say, because of me, one person, one more person will be happy forever in heaven. So let's take these great men as an example for us of their self-sacrifice, their devotion to duty, and their devotion to the truth. Let's pray to them, asking them to pray for us, to assist us. Let's strive to imitate the virtues which they set such a wonderful example of. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.